This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Joining us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, Jordan Mailata. Jordan is brought to you by Colonial Hyundai. Shop online 24-7, colonialhyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. Jordan, I know your job is difficult. Playing football is really, really hard. But have you tried arguing with Elliot Shore Parks for a full hour?
Hey, man, that's actually hilarious.
I know physically yours is more difficult, but mentally, I don't know, it might be close.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's, no comment.
So, Jordan, a great win on Sunday, and it could tell by the reaction you guys felt like it was a great win as well. You've played on some awesome offensive lines. Is the way that you guys are playing now the most dominant that an offensive line you've played on has played?
That's a great question. I don't know how to answer that. I think this is the closest unit that we've had. Mm. I think we're all closer in age, so that helps a lot. I would say this is a pretty dominant line. I don't know if it's the most dominant line. But yeah, that's a hard question to answer, man. We'll see, man. Ask me that at the end of the season, man.
We will.
Don't
it's hard
worry.
To say right now, man, because you know we're clicking on all cylinders, but we're not firing. We're not firing at all cylinders. So big difference. So ask me at the end of the season.
All right, let me ask you about more about that game Sunday, man. It's so much talk about physicality going into that game, and I loved Nick's message prior to the game, at least to us, and I'm sure he relayed the same thing to you all. Everybody's talking about Baltimore's physicality and can you all match their physicality? When you guys went in there with the mindset of can Baltimore match your physicality? So I'm just wondering how did the matchup sort of live up to all the expectations? Was it as physical as we thought it was going to be going into the game?
Yeah, So Coach had a great message from the start of the week. It was, you know, we know our style of football, but they haven't played a team like us. They have to match our physicality, you know, and that was the message throughout the week. And sure enough, man, that first half, three quarters was just a brawl. It was just a brawl. My body is hurting today. Bad. Still. And, I mean, it truly just was a brawl, just trading punches quarter after quarter after quarter. And, you know, Coach has the great saying of, it's not about who's toughest, it's who's toughest the longest.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality that we all embrace, you know, that it's going to be a grind, it's going to be a battle, but who's going to last the longest? And that's really what it was on Sunday.
What do you think Baltimore was sort of doing well, or maybe you guys wasn't doing as well as you want to do, that the running game on our offense just didn't look like it was. And there were some plays there that you guys were hitting with Saquon running the football and things of that nature. But I thought Baltimore at least did a serviceable job of not letting the explosive plays happen there with Saquon. Did they do anything different with their front as far as how they wanted to defend the running game against you all?
Yeah, I would say they did a really good job of playing the three tech into the guard more, so we couldn't hit our double teams, our combo blocks, whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
The three technique would hide his hip, hide his shoulder, so I had nothing to surface or hit. Now, for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I had nothing to surface or hit. And we couldn't really get or be as dominant as we could the first quarter, just trying to see how they were playing. And they were playing a lot more into the guards than we initially thought. And it was extremely frustrating, especially for a team that loves to work on double teams. We pride ourselves on that. We pride ourselves on that. My dog's over here chewing on this toy.
Oh, we thought it was a hamster.
No, it was my dog, George. George is coming. We pride ourselves on the fundamentals, and the fundamentals of football, if you can execute a perfect double block, duo, whatever you call it, that's how you can dominate the line of scrimmage, and they were making it hard for us to execute those blocks just by how the three techs were playing.
That's great trench talk right there, man.
Real
trench talk, man.
Well, speaking of trenches, I was talking to Brandon Graham yesterday because it's actually not just the offense that has gotten off to slow starts. The defense, too, it seems like they're figuring things out. And Brandon mentioned that what happens a lot is you look at a lot on tape all week about what you're facing, but then there's always something different that you have to figure out in those first few series. I imagine it's the same on offense too, that you have an idea of what the other team's going to do, but there's always something different when you get in there that you have to adjust to.
Yeah, always. And that's the beauty of having the relationship with your coach. You're able to come back and talk to everyone, the players you're playing with, and the coaches calling the play, and you talk about what they're seeing and what you're seeing and what the best plays are, how you feel. It's just like getting a feel of how that person across from you is playing. What are you seeing different from the film that we've watched? And then trying to call the best play, possible against that look.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, players say a lot, game by game, one game at a time. There's after you guys, with the winning streak you're on and then beating Baltimore in front of national TV, it does seem like not just Philadelphia, but the entire country has taken notice and put the Eagles in the elite class of teams talking about, the Super Bowl. It's one thing to say one game at a time. It's another thing to do it. So how do you go about tuning those things out and focusing on the next mission at hand as opposed to the overall mission that you guys are looking to accomplish this year?
The culture that's set, like that Coach Sirianni said early on, when it's always been about 1-0 every week, as cliche as that is, every coach wants to say that, but do they live by it? And it's just as easy as focusing. It's so easy to focus on the next game or the focus on the media for what they're saying about you. But, man, coach, just again and again, it's 1-0 and making sure guys are locked into this week, only talking about this week, only talking about today, the practice, what we're focusing on, taking your next step, not taking a look down the road to see where you're headed, just be where your feet are at.
Mm-hmm.
The culture that was set early on helps a lot, especially with the guys who have been with Coach since he's been here. We set that. We keep preaching that. It helps when everyone believes.
Yeah, for sure. We're on with the Eagles tackle, Jordan Mailata. Jordan, Nick brought up the four-minute drill for you guys late in the game, and it's always impressive. I mean, this year it's just been on another level when you guys have to sort of try to either run the clock down or you're going for that final score. In this case, that drive that led to the Saquon touchdown. I'm just wondering what's it like in that huddle for you guys. And AJ mentioned that he had mentioned to Saquon that, okay, it's time to let Superman out. You can let him out now. We need to see him on this drive. I'm just wondering, going into that drive, do you guys sort of get pumped? And is that sort of motivation to go and try to put a score on the board there the way you guys did for that final drive with Saquon?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's hard because there was an inside zone we ran to the left, and Saquon hit it front side when he's supposed to hit it backside. And, he gets tackled. He gets 10 yards, and he gets tackled, and he's, like, slapping the ball. He's like, damn it, I should have cribbed that. I should have taken that to the crib. And he was so mad about it. You just have to tell him, like, hey, like, next play, it's fine. It's going to hit. As many times as he reminds us that, we're one block away, we have to do a good job of telling him, hey, like, it's going to come. And sure enough, I can't say it, but it arrived.
You're right.
It arrived.
We appreciate you censoring yourself right there. Thank you.
Well done.
It arrived.
Well, Jordan, this season has turned into so much fun for us. And, a game like that, you said it hurt, but we're watching that game as Eagles fans. And we're like, yeah, that's football,
that's
man.
That's football
that's
right
football.
There.
So it's been great. And we're looking forward to every game. So congratulations so far. We know the job's not done yet, but you're doing a good job so far. I can say that.
Thank you, guys.
All right, man. Rest up, big dog.
All right, Joe.
All right. Appreciate you.
Yep. Sounds like he's got a tiny dog.
Oh, yeah, and that's normally how it is. Yeah.
I see him walking around. I used to live around Rittenhouse for 10 months. I don't know if everyone...
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
And
when you were a city guy.
When I was a big city guy, you know what I mean? And obviously, Jordan's massive, right?
Can't hide him.
Dude, his dog was maybe a foot.
Oh, really? His little tiny dog.
The big guy walking the little poofy dog?
Yeah.
Very funny aesthetic.
French bulldog?
Nah, smaller than that.
Oh, okay.
Smaller than a little French bulldog.
What's those...
He's got like a pocket poodle or something.
Something like that.
Is he married, Jordan? Is that his?
He's now married. Yeah,
just got married. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's last summer?
I think last summer, yeah. Because I think, wasn't Dickerson his best man?
He was.
That's my left side of the line, Spike.
See, the wife often wants the dog that can fit into the purse or whatever.
Yes, he's going along with it.
Yeah, well.
What does he care?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to him.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah, my wife's different. She likes pit bulls with issues, with like mental issues. That's what she's drawn toward.
Pit bulls with mental issues.
Yeah,
and radio hosts.
And radio. Yes, I guess there's a theme there. All right, Super Bowl or bust, or one game at a time for you right now as an Eagles fan. 215-592.
We're back.
94-94. Say what, guy? Dave, you're on WIP.
What's up, fellas? Look, y'all made me eat all my popcorn laughing at y'all debating, man. That was so funny.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. It ruined my voice for the rest of the day.
Hey, look, y'all keep it live. Hey, listen, with y'all permission, can I talk about the Eagles, and then I want to say something about the kids, if it's okay?
Oh, no, not the Pee Wee football team again.
No. I just want to say they won the championship.
Oh, man. Yep.
Yeah,
all
come
right.
On, man.
Thanks.
Shut
right, good
out,
job.
Man.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Good job, say what, guy.
Now, do they go to, like, Nationals or something, or is it just...
Well, they played three games. My grandson, I had to name him Baby Saquon.
Oh, okay, of course. I mean, Saquon's around here this year.
177 yards rushing. He had three touchdowns, and he had, like, nine solo tackles. And three of them he saved so that the guy didn't get a touchdown, and they won 24 to nothing.
Dave, if you don't move on to the Eagles, Jack's going to play the Oscar music really loud on you. I don't want that to happen.
I know. Let me tell you about the Eagles. We got pumped, and I'm telling you, all the fans that said we won a Serie A fire, Hurts was going to be a Wentz, you know what I mean? We all got pumped. Because none of us knew that they were going to be playing like they play today. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And here's the road to the Super Bowl. Here's the road to the Super Bowl. First of all, they got to keep their foot on the gas. They got to look in that rearview mirror, right? And then after they look in that rearview, have a mindset. Ike, and you mentioned it.
Talk to me.
Just have a mindset that you want to go to the Super Bowl. But as you go and pay attention – and I think they can make it.
Yeah, well, that sounds like a formula.
Yeah, your lips to God's ears, man. Fingers crossed.
Oh, yeah. And you want a British guy. I grew up with the Beatles, man. That's the big answer. I grew up with.
Well, that's four Brits. You got to pick one.
Beatle. Who's your go-to Beatle?
How do you pick one Beatle?
No, you got to pick one Beatle. Yeah, have a take.
Everybody's.
Well, I would say John Lennon.
Oh, good answer.
That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Yep.
All right, Dave.
Say what?
My mom was a Beatles fan. My mom was a Paul guy.
Paul Bearer?
She liked McCartney.
Not a Paul Bearer.
She liked McCartney. It's tough. I'd be a Lennon.
He's the third best.
Yeah. I'd be a George Harrison guy.
Yeah, Lennon, Harrison, McCartney.
Whoa, you're McCartney third?
Come on, man. He writes children's songs.
Oh, come on. Those are the hits.
I know.
No surprise. Not a Beatles guy.
Really?
Not a shock.
Not a Beatles guy.
Yep.
Paul McCartney, though.
Yeah, there you go.
Little Michael Jackson?
Yes. Ebony and Ivory?
Yeah. That wasn't the one I was thinking of, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that was those two, right?
Say.
Oh, Say was cool, too.
Yeah, remember that? That's a good one.
Yeah, Ebony and Ivory.
I used to love when that video. That's when you didn't get to see all the videos you wanted to see. So when the Michael Jackson video came on, MTV, come on, man.
That's why the box was such a big deal, because you could pay for a video.
Yeah. You think my mother was paying for a video?
No. I actually realized when I went over to one of my friend's houses in high school that there were the box for different areas.
Yeah.
Because the box at my house was playing rock videos all the time, and I think it might have been Smoke's house or whatever. Yeah. I went over there and it was not rock videos.
Rap music?
It was rap videos.
Really?
Yes.
Now, see, I did not know that.
I think they had different feeds for different areas.
It makes sense.
It would, yes.
They try to make sure they appeal to a certain demographic everywhere.
Yeah, I think it was college. Maybe it was college, right around then. Right? Jack, do you remember the box? Or was it the box before
come
you?
On, man. Okay. I had YouTube.
There's no way he remembers the box.
So
I do vaguely remember MTV still having music videos, but that's about it.
So after MTV got popular, there was a TV channel called The Box where you could call up, and I think you had to pay, right? Mm-hmm. You had to pay like $2 or whatever.
I thought it was 99 cents, but maybe it was $2.
Whatever it is, it's a total scam because you would just sit there forever waiting for your video, having no idea if it was
you who actually paid for it. Yes.
Because 100 people could have called for the same video.
It was like a damn jukebox.
Oh, dude, they had to be friggin' printing money.
You know what? You're too young. I'm just too dumb to realize that or not. But yeah, you're right. You just have to sit there and wait for your video to come up.
Yes.
And like you said, you don't know if somebody had already ordered that video.
Yep.
It was a scam.
Yes, that's how the world made us, toughened us, Jack. That's
yes.
how we're so hardened because of what happened with the box.
By the way, Ebony and Ivory apparently was Paul
Stevie
McCartney
Wonder.
And Stevie Wonder.
Yes. Well,
way to go, yeah. Spike.
Well, sorry.
No, what's wrong is I didn't know.
Yes.
But
I'm not in the delegation.
Yeah, no, you're right about this. Another strike against me. And I wasn't sure, and I just let it go.
You're right. Say was Paul McCartney.
That's why I said say. When you said Ebony and Ivory, I'm like, I don't want to say if it's not.
Well,
or if it
I
isn't.
Was actually thinking, I'm trying to play the song in my head. I'm like, that doesn't sound like Michael Jackson, as I'm thinking about it. And then he made his final appearance in a delegation meetup with Kanye and Rihanna.
Yes.
Paul McCartney was in that one, too.
Yeah.
What was that song? I can't remember the name of the song.
With Kanye and Rihanna.
It was 4 or 5 seconds.
4 or 5 seconds.
That's what it was.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Yeah, good tune.
What about Ebony and Ivory with Joe Piscopo and Eddie Murphy? Saturday Night Live.
Now, look, that was my golden era. That Saturday Night Live era with Eddie Murphy and Joe. Do you remember that Eddie Murphy one where he was a white guy for a day? When he did all, so Eddie Murphy did this skit where he went.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood was great. Gumby was obviously great.
Yeah.
There's a skit you should watch it on YouTube sometime.
Yeah,
Eddie Murphy gets all this makeup, and mm-hmm. they give him a mustache and a hat, and he lives as a white guy one day. And everywhere he goes, they're just like,
Stuff. He's saying how different it is for a white guy.
Yes,
I do remember that. Yes,
all
a lot of those
skit.
Characters. Was that one of the ones he used in? That wasn't the white guy he used in Coming to America, right?
No, I don't think so. Coming to America was the old Jewish guy.
Right.
Yeah, in the barbershop.
Right, yes.
No, different
wasn't
guy.
That guy, right?
Different guy. The guy he was in Saturday Night Live, it was, almost looked like Smithers from,
from The
Simpsons.
Simpsons.
Gary in Vineland, you're on WIP. What's up, Gary?
do you remember from that era the Martin Short when he was the attorney for the state? But anyhow, that's what he reminds me of you when you're like, I'm not being defensive. You don't want to be a defensive.
Martin Short was great.
You know what I'm talking about?
The Martin Short I remember is when Grimley, was that his name? Ed Grimley, the guy with the pointed hair guy?
I remember him.
You probably remember it if you saw it. Yeah.
Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I think the worm might malfunction. You had Daddy on this afternoon saying that Coach is better than John Madden. Now, Elliot, like,
he said his numbers are legendary.
He said he's better than John Madden?
Yeah, and then he said John Madden only coached for 4 years, and then they said, no, he didn't. He coached for 10. He's like, oh, whatever.
So I actually have the audio. Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, Gary, hang on one second. Play this.
You got it.
So John Madden in his career was 112-39-7 with a winning percentage of .750 and won the Super Bowl.
Kind of good.
We all like Nick. We could hold off on the John Madden.
But that's why Elliot had to come in and do what he did today.
All right.
He had to one up Howard.
Yes. That's the beauty of what's going on.
Did you hear Howard this morning?
Howard said Madden.
He was better than Madden. I should say he's better than Belichick.
Oh, my God. I agree with Jack. Between him and OG Wade, I'd like to see you guys do a poll. Does OG Wade make you like Jalen less? Because it's just like, disgusting. They're good.
Totally
they're
agree.
Really good. We like them. We're coming around.
Yeah.
I know what Coach does now. He's a leader of men. I see it now.
I get it.
My God. He's not the best thing ever.
Yeah. Well, it is what it is. So
it is.
You a one game at a time guy? You a Super Bowl guy? Where are you right now?
I think we're heading to New Orleans, man.
Oh, boy.
I don't know, man. How many injuries Detroit has? I think
they do have a lot of injuries. I am a little worried. I feel like ours are quietly popping up here and there. We lost Van Sumeren for the rest of the year, and I know it's just, but he
huge loss.
Well, we respect fullbacks on this station.
Well, yeah, and dude, they had butt play once, and we lost. Goddard is now on IR.
Yep.
Right. We have Slay in concussion protocol, as far as I know, still is. Reed Blankenship's in concussion protocol. Yep. We also have. There was one more that I'm trying to. Oh, well,
Devontae.
I guess Devontae will be back. I would assume next week.
Hamstring.
Yeah.
Did you hear Rich's reaction to Ben Van Sumeren being done for the year?
Did he cry? This is really. I knew he was going to do that.
All right, Gary, who's your go-to Brit?
I would just say, but real quick, could a legendary coach lead us to failure? No way. I like to, because I've been singing Slick Rick songs ever since, I think you guys should vote for the Slick Rick guy.
Okay. All right. That you just want to give it up for the Slick Rick.
Okay.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. That's good. I'll take that.
I'm still shocked. I didn't know Slick Rick was a Brit.
Yeah. Well, you've learned something new every day on this show.
Every day on this show. Oh, believe me, when we mess up, we learn.
We learn quick.
By the way, another Michael Jackson, Paul McCartney song.
Yes.
The Girl Is Mine.
Oh, another good song.
That's another good one.
Another good tune.
Jack, 80s soft rock, man. Come on, man.
Oh, yeah. That was
you're a soft rock kind of guy, too.
Yeah, well, John Mayer's the GOAT. Oh, yeah. I'm a rom-com and soft rock.
You know what I was listening to? Speaking of soft rock, I mean, I guess this would be classified when I was driving home last night. Who's Gonna Drive You Home by the Cars? Do you remember that song? You would know it if you heard it.
I was gonna say if I heard it.
It was that era. I listened to it 3 times in a row. Who's gonna drive you home? I
do know that song.
Yes.
Who's gonna
tonight?
Drive?
Good tune, man.
I want to just be a damn fly in your car, man.
Oh, dude. It's a long time. I got to pop back and forth between the podcast and the singing. Oh, yeah.
Yelling at people about different debates we didn't had on the show earlier that day. You're replaying them in your head.
And my patience on the drive home. Drive in, I'm fine. Drive home, my patience like this. You're tailgating me a little bit. You're getting a finger, man. No. You're getting the finger. What? Oh, no.
Yeah. Don't relax.
I'm not even.
Not even touching it.
Don't. All right. Don't.
Hold on. I might have to.
Oh, no.
All right.
No.
We have a. It's not a Phillies related High Hopes Jackie baseball report. Now.
Sick of the Phillies.
But we do have a High Hopes Jackie baseball report because the MLB.
Flagship home of the Phillies. Like,
yes.
You hear that, John?
Yeah.
Sick of it.
There's some rumors that Major League Baseball is considering a drastic rule change.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Drastic. And we'll talk about it next I can tell you I'm for it. And it's not going to make Jack happy.
I'm for it.
So this is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.